This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm Brooke Spector, your host. And today's guest, well, actually one of two guests, is a man who probably needs virtually no introduction from me to audiences in South Africa and in many ways to audiences in many other parts of the world. And that, of course, is David Cremer. Those of you with long memories of South African television will recall advertisements for a particular Volkswagen Kombi and a man with red veldskoen and a bicycle and things like that became extraordinarily popular as a commercial. Others of us have memories of a work that was done in tandem with his late collaborator, Talib Peterson, and that, of course, was District 6. And some of us can still remember and sing at least a few lines of one or another of the songs in that show. I kept running across other works by him. There was a television show I saw a year or two ago that I think was a variation on Karu Kitar Blues, another show that you did on your own, that had an ensemble of people. Most of it was in Afrikaans. I had to keep pushing my wife to say, tell me, what is it they're saying? Because I don't understand. I can follow the music, but I don't understand the commentary. Anyway, it really is an honor and a delight to have some time with you, David. And we want to talk about your life and your work a little bit, but there's a project that you're involved now, which is such a delight to see. It's your music, your show, but being performed by the Cape Town Opera. And it's based on the true life adventures and story of a man I suspect very few Americans have heard of, and not so many South Africans, but is a vital link between the two countries. Orpheus Makhadu and his Virginia Jubilee Singers came to South Africa for an unbelievable, 2 years of performances back at the turn of the 19th and to 20th centuries. David, thank you for joining us.
Lovely to be here. Pleasure.
I read through your bio and I realized that you didn't start out as a musician, professionally at least. You started out as a textile student in Britain and then slowly shifted toward something very different. I mean, what took you from one thing to the other?
Let me say this. I was always interested in music, and music was probably, you know, at that time I thought of it as a hobby. But it was my true love. And I was just lucky to get a bursary to go and study textiles designing in Leeds University from a textile factory in the town where I grew up, Worcester in the Boerland. So that took me overseas, which was wonderful because I suddenly came out of apartheid South Africa into a very liberal university with fantastic entertainments. You know, we had all these societies, and Leeds University was very strong when it came to entertaining. And they were able to organize in the early 70s when I was there, all the new songwriters. I mean, I saw Elton John and Rod Stewart and a whole number of them performing at Leeds University. And I had the opportunity to start performing myself at the folk clubs in the university, as well as around the city of Leeds. And I cut my teeth in front of a very hostile audience.
Why hostile?
Well, I was a white South African at that time.
That would have gotten some people's backs up for sure. I can see that.
Well, most people, I would say, at that time. And in that university, it wasn't something that you would mention. You know, they were very, very anti-South Africa at that time. And I don't think they would even allow, any kind of South African spokesperson to come up.
Couldn't have told people that you were from the small but fiercely independent Republic of Gariep.
Yeah. Well, you know, most people sort of try to pretend they were from Australia or New Zealand or somewhere. I took a different route. I just decided to be honest and say I'm from South Africa. And I started writing very humorous songs. I started to use satire and parody the situation in South Africa. And I was able to win over my audiences in that way.
Satire can be funny and clever, or it can be really biting and angry.
Yes, I've used both. Yeah,
I mean,
so that was the beginning of my serious songwriting career, suddenly understanding the power of my songwriting and that I had this ability to use humor in a way that could manipulate people's perceptions and feelings.
I would suspect that some of those songs were actually people could absorb them on one of two different, very different levels. One could just take them as entertaining music and performance, and then the other, if they were of such a capability of mind, would have heard the inner workings and the inner meanings of the words and the critique that they embodied. And I suspect people who
We hope so. We always hope so.
Sorry.
I say we always hope that would be the effect.
Yeah. Well, you win both ways that way. This current work about Orpheus McAdoo. I mean, first of all, the
Thank
man
you.
has a fascinating first name. I wonder what his parents were thinking, but
His second name was Myron, and his
that's even
brother's name was Eugene.
those are not sort of standard
No,
stock names in the
not at
19th
all.
century of Virginia. No, one really wonders. But you've taken something. Originally, you had a you did an earlier version of this,
Orpheus in Africa.
and now you've reworked it. And the cast largely is drawn from Cape Town Opera.
Largely, but not completely. It's a musical, and I think people get a little confused because Cape Town Opera Company is presenting it, but it is a musical, and the fact that we have opera singers is very much to my advantage because some of the singing style is leans towards the operatic. And also the Virginia Jubilee Singers and Concert Company, who I try to replicate as closely as I can. They were made up of 12 singers and they had very, very powerful voices. So this is what we have in the current production. And it's something to hear. It's really beautiful. I very much wanted people to travel back in time to 1890 and to imagine when this choir comes up on stage and sings, this is what it would have sounded like if you were in Cape Town 130 years ago.
It's sort of like the tradition of original instruments for recording Baroque music these days. David, we have to take a short commercial break. Station identification. We'll be right back. This is the Deep Dive, and I'm Brooks Spector, your host, of course. But my special guest, and we're delighted to have him, David Kremer, musician, composer, cultural catalyst in all kinds of ways. And we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Deep Dive with Brooks Spector.
This is the Deep Dive. I'm Brooks Spector, and my special guest today, one of two actually, is David Kremer, the songwriter, cultural figure extraordinaire. And we're talking about I don't want to say new musical because it's a revision and a revival of an earlier work, but
That's why it's
Orpheus.
called Orpheus McAdoo now. I've just used Orpheus McAdoo because there have been quite a number of revisions, as you say. And I didn't want people to come along and say, oh, but it's not what we saw before. It's not quite the same thing. So I hope I've made some improvements to it, particularly in Act Two. And so I've given it this name in the meantime.
The only challenge for listeners is that at least at this incarnation and this time, it's only running at Artscape at Artscape until the 4th of November, which is not so very far into the future. If you're listening
No.
to this, we all live in hope that that David will bring this one back in some way, shape, or form so that we can see it. We'll get a
Yes.
chance to see the video, or maybe it'll come to Johannesburg even.
Yes, I think those possibilities exist. We are videoing it. In fact, we're videoing it this evening and another evening. But as I said, this was excellent for me to be able to have another look at it. And then I think it will probably get some more changes. And I really do believe that this musical has a lot going for it, and so I'm not about to just finish on Sunday, the 4th of November, whenever we finish. I think it's going to have a long life still.
I mean, some of the works I've seen that you have done over the years, this is a rather different adventure for you. I mean, years ago, my wife and I saw the production Guma,
yes,
in which you were digging into the cultural history, largely neglected, but cultural history of early South Africa before, in fact, it was a South Africa, drawing off of the slave inheritance from Southeast Asia for the most part. Audiences everywhere have seen District 6, but this draws on American sources rather directly. What drove you there? What took you to that direction?
Well, you mentioned Guma, and while I was researching Guma, I came across a photograph of Orpheus McAdoo's Virginia Jubilee singers all dressed up in their wonderful top hats and tails and beautiful costumes. And there was this photograph and said, Orpheus McAdoo, Virginia Jubilee singers visited Cape Town in 1890. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I've never heard of anything like that. I never knew that there was any of this kind of singing that came to South Africa. I was aware of other American, like the blackface Christy Minstrels and so on, but mm-hmm. I'd never heard of Jubilee singing. I didn't know what that was. So I started to research him and was absolutely knocked out. I was fascinated by this man and what he achieved. He was 32 years old when he arrived here. As you said, he was so successful initially that he decided to tour South Africa for 2 years. Then he went on to Australia, stayed in Australia for about 2.5 years or 3 years. Then he returned to South Africa, 1895, and continued to tour here for another 2 years until 1897. Then he went back to Australia, and that is where he died at the age of 42 in 1900.
I think that really is an astonishing story, and I don't know. I mean, I've read there's another group that was the Fisk University Jubilee Singers, which also toured this part of the world, I think a little bit earlier.
They preceded. They were the first Jubilee Singers, and that's a fascinating story. And why no Americans have ever picked up on that one, I don't really understand. The first thing I did, of course, was when I came across Orpheus McAdoo, was to Google and see whether anyone else had written anything about him. Were there any musicals in America? And then, of course, the Fisk Jubilee Singers. But the Fisk Jubilee Singers were about, they definitely preceded Orpheus by about 10 or 15 years. Orpheus was in the Fisk Jubilee Singers as a bass baritone singer on their last tour. He joined them.
Mm.
And I think that is where he got the idea that he could become an impresario and he could take Jubilee singing around the world as well. The Fisks, of course, were doing it largely in the beginning to raise funds for the university, yeah. Which they did very successfully. Amazing story, that. And then it was taken over commercially by a man called Lodon, and he did very successful tours of places like Australia, New Zealand, maybe even Japan. So anyway, that's where Orpheus got the idea to start his own company, which he did. But yeah, so my you asked why I would go down this. Why would we? The thing is, it's hidden history. I'm interested in South African history that we don't hear about or never heard about and was probably suppressed because, you know, I mean, the fact that this man in South Africa had such a huge impact, and he was, you know, he was being an African American, just sort of broke all the stereotypes that exist here.
I mean, some of your other works, I know that you've picked up on what was then contemporary American style singing, doo-wop singing. Yes. That was done on literally done in some cases on street corners in Cape Town.
Yes.
But this is a whole part of history that I'm intrigued. I want to explore it a little bit further myself. And I thought I knew a fair amount about these kinds of things. And this information intrigues and excites me at the same time. And I'm eager to dig into this a little bit more and really looking forward to at least seeing your video.
No, okay. So, no, well, let's see what happens. But there was something I wanted to say about it. We're getting old, Brooks. We're getting old. All these
we all are.
Yeah, I say, well, I include you. He's an incredible sub. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. He's not known in America. He became an Australian citizen and then he died, as I say, at age 42 in Sydney, Australia. I think had he survived and gone on and gone home back to America and maybe did the sort of work that he was doing with the syncretic, the idea of bringing things together and creating something new, as he did with, then I think he would be better known in America today. I don't think any Americans have ever heard of Orpheus McAdoo or will recognize the name, because he never became famous for doing what he did in America. The Fisk, well, we all have heard of.
Yeah, I mean, there are musicians and musicologists in the U.S. digging into these kinds of things, and it goes back to the 19th. The Lomax family for the Library of Congress set out to record folk music all over southeastern the United States and Appalachia, and the recordings were eventually accumulated at the Library of Congress, and then this woman, Rhiannon Giddens, has been exploring that.
Yes. One of my favorites. I love her. On the banjo. I love the old banjos that she's resurrecting, the original style.
And I mean, what you've done with this is, it seems to me, aligned and in accord with the same kind of thing. Discovering the depths of history as seen through music and how it evolved. I know you have to go, and I don't want to keep you too long. I just want to note that one of your singers on this program, this work, Conroy Scott, we interviewed him a couple of months earlier when he was in Lucia de Lammermoor. And I'm just fascinated that he's shifting from that to this. But then I realized he spent years in Europe with a soul music and R&B show. So
That's right. He's a superb bass player and very musical man, very, very musical. Yes, no, he loves all that stuff. I mean, the fact that he can do this operatic singing and he's very adept at becoming a musical performer.
When you see him, tell him we say hello. He came to lunch with us a couple of months back and we had a wonderful time.
Lovely guy. I'll tell him.
Please do. And let me just wrap up with this, if I might, and let you go and get some rest and get ready for what you have to do the rest of the day. What's next on your agenda? That's the obvious question. Where do you go from here?
It's always good to have something next. And I think, when you open a new show, you definitely, once the show's opened, you should start working on the next one. And I have two projects that are in my head at the moment. One is a small musical, and the other one is a fairly larger musical, but it would be in Afrikaans and maybe more suitable for the festivals. But the Afrikaans one is a kind of tribute to my grandmother, who ran a boarding house in Taos River when they went. It was after the ostrich feather boom that collapsed and there was drought. My grandparents had a little shop near Ladysmith, and they went bankrupt because the farmers, nobody could pay once they lost the sale of the feathers. And so they went off to Taos River and they opened a boarding house there. And at the time, a railway line was being built from Taos River to Ladysmith, and all the men that worked on that railway line boarded with my grandmother. And some of the stories she told me are going to be the inspiration for my next musical.
We have been speaking with David Kremer, the cyclist extraordinaire, the musician, the creative force behind much of South Africa's current musical styles and history, and a discoverer of all the almost lost and hidden corners and avenues of South African music. But in this particular show, Orpheus McAdoo, he's looking at the somewhat hidden interaction between a group of African-American singers who toured South Africa unbelievably for 2 years and more at the turn of the 19th to 20th century and brought American music to South Africa, then on to Australia. But it's running until the 4th of November at Artscape. And so if you happen to have time this weekend, make a trip and go see this and go hear it. Don't wait for it to come back in a couple of months later somewhere else. Go see it now. David, it's been a real pleasure. I am humble before you in terms of your creativity and your musical interests. I appreciate the time with you.
Thank you, Brooks. Nice to see you and talk to you.